You are listening to CITR 11.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. This program is called The Burrow. On every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m., my name is Andy Resto. I've got an interview with a man named Mick Barr today, lined up, one that I recorded earlier last week. Mick Barr is the bassist of a experimental black metal band known as Kralice, K-R-A-L-L-I-C-E, Kralice, based out of New York. They have just released a new EP called Hyperion. Just came out on the first of the year, although as you'll hear in the interview, it was recorded a couple of years back in 2013. They had a record last year, 2015, called Ighur, which we'll also chat a little bit about. And you can find all these on their Bandcamp. They're also pressing some vinyls at the moment for the new EP. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. I'm going to play the title track from the new EP, Hyperion, for you, and then jump right into the interview with Mick. You're listening to The Burrow on CITR 11.9 FM. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
So you are tuned in to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Andy Resto, and I am on the phone across countries, across the great wide landscape of North America, chatting with Mick Barr. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Do you want to tell the people out there who you are and what band you happen to play in?
Well, currently mainly just do the band Kralis, but also do a band called Oldest, and I don't know, I've got maybe 9 or 10 improv bands, but you probably don't want me to list all those.
Well, we can, I can get a list later, maybe we can hear some on the show later on. Do you want to, so you are 1/4 of Kralis, correct?
Yes.
And do you want to briefly give a rundown of who else you do that project with and what they play?
Sure. Yeah, Kralis is a four-piece band from New York. It's been going since 2007, 2008, around then. On drums, we have Lev Weinstein. He plays also in Garyon and Anacon. See, this is the thing, is that all of us play in way too many bands, so just for fun, I'll just give you all those. Then on bass, we have Nick McMaster, who also plays in Garyon and has a band called Gathsmane as well. Then on other guitar, we have Colin Marston, who is also in Gorguts, Dysrhythmia, and Behold the Arctopus.
Great. Fascinating to me that you have so many side projects, considering how expansive Kralis' music is, and the fact that you're putting out music pretty consistently with Kralis, and then still have the time to do a lot of other projects. How does that balance work?
Well, thankfully, we're not a touring band, so we're able to spend all of our time that we have together. We usually spend writing and working on new stuff, with the occasional, you know, times like where we'll play a show in New York, and then we'll, we'll have to practice, you know, some older songs and stuff. For the most part, we're able just to spend our time writing, and then also Colin, our other guitar player, runs a recording studio out of where he lives. So so it's basically where we practice is also where we happen to record. So we're just kind of fortunate in that way.
Right. How do you feel Kralis stands out? How would it be unique versus some of the other projects you're involved with and some of the other members? Part of that could be process-based, but when you four are working together versus doing other projects, what is it that you think you can come out with that sets Kralis apart?
For this band, like, all of us write together, and we all have, you know, pretty equal say, and, you know, just in everything. So, in that, like, it would definitely be very different than, you know, like, it would be in a band, you know, like, where I would write, you know, like, all the, you know, like, all the parts and, like, all the bass lines and all the lyrics and everything. And then it's just kind of just, like, the combination of the four of us versus the combination of, you know, any other four people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the four of us are going to make something that sounds like what it sounds like, whereas, you know, if it was four other people, it would probably sound vastly, vastly different.
Right. The last two releases have been self-release. Like you said, you have the recording studio, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the earlier records were actually on a Canadian-based label, Profound Lore. How did that come about? They've got some great acts coming out of that.
Yeah, that was our first three albums were released by Profound Lore, it was great. I mean, like, we loved working with Chris Bruni, the owner, and we loved all the other bands on the label. So yeah, it was very positive for us, to be on that label. And then it was at a time like where Chris's label was actually getting a lot of attention. I guess he always gets a lot of attention, but this was kind of when he was just starting to like really branch out. And like that really helped our band and, you know, stuff just to get into people's minds. Yeah, and then our last three records we've self-released. And there wasn't any problem, you know, like, that we had with the label. It was just more like that we just kind of wanted just to like not waste time waiting to put it out, and, right, you know, And so far, it's basically worked out very well. It basically happened by chance, where we weren't able to put out our record 1 year with Profound Lore just because his release schedule was all booked up.
Yeah.
And then we were like, all right, then why don't we just do this one ourselves, and then we'll come back to the label. But then we did that one ourselves, and it was really kind of fun and freeing in this weird way. So then we were like, all right, well, then why don't we just, and then after that, we actually had 3 years off where we didn't put out anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was time to do it again, we didn't know what we were going to do, and everything was kind of secret. And then at the last minute, we were just like, yeah, fuck it, we'll just do it ourselves again.
So Years Past Matter was the first one self-released, correct?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And then there's the gap to Ig Her. Am I pronouncing that okay?
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm. So those are... I feel quite different. Years Past Matter, it's all the tracks are just titled by notches. And again, very long tracks and engulfing. And Igor, I'll ask specifically, the middle of the record, the four tracks in the middle are all exactly 6 minutes and 41 seconds. And I feel like that has to be intentional. And was that part of the composition to make all those tracks the exact same length?
No, not at all. Actually, that was completely by chance.
That's wild, then.
No, yeah, it was actually pretty amazing. After we realized that, because on that album, those four songs were all kind of initiated by me and Colin, whereas the other two songs were initiated by Nick McMaster. It was definitely very weird, just to realize it, just because, all the songs, all started out very differently, and we worked on them for years, so it was very strange to see, that they just kind of all turned into the exact same length.
Yeah, so in a sense, Acre seems much tighter or something because of the lengths, and ties in together as Years Past Matter. As I said, it's almost like one really long, hour-long piece. Do you feel that way? Was there a different approach to writing the songs?
Yeah, there was a little bit. I mean, basically, how we always write is usually the same, from the very beginning of the band. It's just kind of one of the members will bring forth, just kind of a rough skeleton song structure, and then we'll all kind of work on it collectively for a while. But with the last album, we definitely, I don't want to say that we tried to do something different, but we just needed to do something different. It's just after we finished Years Past Matter, well, actually, after we finished tracking the EP that we just put out, Hyperion, after we finished tracking that, because that was actually tracked in 2013. After we finished that, it was just kind of all right, we just need to do something different. But I don't think that any of us had any really real idea of what we wanted to do. We just kind of,
listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This program is called The Burrow, on every Monday. It's from 3 to 4 p.m. And if you're just joining us this week, I've got an interview with Mick Barr from New York-based black metal group Kralis, who we're hearing in the background now, the track from 2012's Years Past Matter. Time for a few messages, slight break. And then on the other side, we'll get back with the second half of my interview with Mick Barr. Stay tuned.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here. God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh,
everybody.
God, this is awful.
When I climb up the mountain, climb back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climb back down, climb back.
Oh, isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
A man of average height got out of a black sedan holding a baseball bat. He approached a dark-haired woman, hit her in the head, then hit her again as she fell to the ground. He continued to beat her ribs, chest, legs, and face until she lost consciousness. He then hit her again, got into his car, and drove away. This is a scene from a video game played by millions. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a game? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
Real idea of what we wanted to do. We just kind of like let time pass and then just kind of like slowly started like to work on some like other riffs. Like, oh yeah, we're basically like a little bit less in the mindset of like, you know, of like our old traditional black metal approach. After all that time, everything just kind of formed into the weird shape that it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Igor, is there a meaning behind that? I tried to look it up. I didn't know if it was like old mythology of some sort and couldn't find anything. Is it a self-made mythology?
No. Basically, the word was taken. There's an Italian modern classical composer by the name of Chelsea, and he had a solo cello piece that was titled Yeager, but it was spelled a little bit differently. And apparently, according to his liner notes in the CD, it's a Sanskrit word that means catharsis. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never been able to find the word anywhere else, just in this one piece of music. But either way, like, you know, it's just like while we were like, as we were working on the music, like that was just kind of the word that seemed to like fit. Even though I don't really think the music is being all that, you know, or any more cathartic than any of our other music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like there was like something about like the word and the way it like looks and sounded that really just kind of seemed to fit this album.
Great. And then you mentioned briefly earlier, of course, the new EP that I guess is not necessarily new, but you're releasing it here in January, and it's called Hyperion. Yeah. You want to chat about it?
Yeah, Hyperion, yeah. Yeah, that was put out on the first of the year on our Bandcamp page, and then since then we've actually pressed a CD, which I'm currently in the process of mailing out right now, as well as it's going to be released on vinyl too soon.
It's a grind to do those mail outs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been good though. Like I've actually found that I kind of enjoy the process of the mail out. You know, it's like I just kind of like fall into the zone, have my headphones on, and you know, just kind of dive into it. And it's kind of a fun process.
Yeah. On the your Facebook page, I saw you had a few comments about the record. One being that it's was meant to be a split originally, and then. Also, there's a comment there. It is not better than Ikur.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, okay, well, it's like, originally it was actually tracked to be a split with a new project of Vinsval, who does the band Blutaus Nord.
Oh, cool.
And he was going to do a band that's called Ecstasis. But that was like over 2.5 years ago, and we just haven't heard anything about it in a while. So we were just like, all right, well, why don't we put this out now because we don't want to sit on it anymore. And then, if he ever tracks his side of the record, then after we hear that, then we'll go and write new music based on that. Mm. And yeah, and then as far as it's not better than Yeager. That was just that was just kind of a joke, just because I'd seen like a bunch of people say that it was better.
No way. tuned in to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM in the middle of an interview that I did with Mick Barr of the band Kralis from New York. And right now we're listening to Giacinto Scelsi's Igor, the first part of Igor by Giacinto Scelsi, whose piece Igor is the namesake of Kralis's most recent record from 2015. We're gonna listen to the rest of this here. Means catharsis in an ancient Sanskrit language of some sort. We're gonna listen to the rest of this here and then get back to the rest of the interview with Mick Barr here on CITR 101.9 FM.
What do you know? It ain't better. but it's fine. It's, you know, sure. Like, I don't know. It, you know, it actually very may well be better. I have no idea.
So typically I would introduce Kralis as being a black metal band, or I might say experimental black metal. But that becomes, there's a weird discussion around that and a lot of polarization with groups like Liturgy or Deaf Heaven that have come out recently that are very like experimental takes on the genre. And so there are these really hardcore, seem to be these hardcore fans who like to take a traditional approach to metal, whatever that might be. But I see Kralis existing kind of on that fringe, which I think is terrific. But I don't know if you think about this or if it's very annoying even to see these distinct categories of what metal, quote unquote, metal music should be or is, and where you might see yourself on that spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely think about it. I don't want to think about it, but I think about
right,
it. But, I mean, honestly, like, what it all comes down to is there are no rules. Like, anyone who says that there's a rule about what one person should do within music is, like, I mean, pretty much as soon as there's a rule, it's going to be broken, you know? Mm. As far as whether it's labeled black metal or experimental black metal, honestly, like, I could care less. It's, you know, like, I mean, you know, sure, it's, yeah, like, it's like the band was definitely born of influence and inspiration from black metal. And, you know, and like that's kind of like the core approach. But all the members of this band are just, you know, huge music fans across like the spectrum of the world of music, whether it be, you know, classical music or world music or hip hop or, I don't know, all the different kinds of metal, all the different kinds of hardcore, whatever. You know, like it's like all of us kind of follow all of that. So it's like we have, you know, like our own perspective on music, and we have our own approaches in music, so no matter what, that's going to come through in the music that we write, whether we, you know, like try to write something traditional or not. Now, right. In the beginning of the band, we had kind of tried to tone down some of our outside influences and just kind of do something traditional with the first album. That was kind of the approach, at least. And then, you know, instantly, like, that kind of, like, opened up doors, you know, just to try different things and try different things. And that's kind of what we're, you know, still doing. I don't know, yeah, a lot of times I definitely like to let things just be, you know, like unconscious. I definitely like to let the influence sneak in unconscious. I don't really like to, like, try to do an experimental thing or try to do, you know, a death metal thing or whatever. It's just going to kind of come on its own.
Yeah. Great. So do you have anything at the top of your list of what might be surprising influences or guilty / non-guilty pleasures that someone would be surprised to hear that you listen to consistently?
Consistent. Well, I've always been a fan of the jazz fusion band Weather Report. Do you know them at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. Like, I definitely know that a lot of their stuff is, like, very questionably, I don't know, it's just very questionable music from time to time, but I've always been a fan of them. I don't know, yeah, I'm trying to think of other things that I would consider to be, like, a guilty pleasure. I'm not really the biggest fan of, like, pop music or anything like that, so I don't really, like, have anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like, there aren't, like, obvious
I listen to, like, a little bit of reggae music, Burning Spear.
Okay.
I don't know, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Again, I don't really think of that as being, like, a guilty pleasure so much.
Right.
It's just, you know, anything that I'm actually guilty about. I don't know. I mean, at our practices sometimes, we'll just waste a lot of time watching the worst possible music that we can find on YouTube. So, like it's like we'll watch, like, modern country videos and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, like CMT, those are, it's nuts to sit through those sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's yeah, like, I don't know why, yeah, but it actually seems like, it seems like almost necessary to do that. Yeah, just dive in head first and just, you know, let the world try to break you with its sounds.
So other than the wide circle that you and your bandmates might cover, are there things, this is a kind of a ridiculous question, of course there are, but are there scenes or groups in New York that you're very excited about right now?
Scene-wise, I don't really know. Like, I rarely go out, you know, like, with the exception of when there's, like, a show I want to see or a show I'm playing. I will say, like, that the New York improv and experimental music scene, there's actually some really amazing music being made that is largely ignored by the world. In fact, like, the shows usually don't attract more than, like, 5 or 6 people. You know, people like Weasel Walter and Ava Mendoza, Tim Dahl, Mike Pride. There's just tons of, like, amazing improvisers and, like, at these shows that are just, like, making incredible music that is just, you know, like I said, largely ignored. As far as, like, metal goes and stuff, I don't know. I was just listening to the band Sabbath Assembly. They're kind of half in New York these days, half in Texas. They're a pretty interesting band. We have a show with them in March. Yeah, I mean, just everything like that our friends are doing, you know, like...
Is there, if I were to fill out the radio episode here with some music, and you can choose whatever you want, would you have a song request?
Sure, yeah. You got, okay, yeah, well, like, what sort of stuff do you have at this station?
We can find just about anything, so just throw something out there.
All right. Then I'm going to say let's play some traditional Azerbaijani mugam and play some Alim Kazimov, if you have him.
Alim Kazimov, okay. Well, I will do. I will search and I will find it, and we'll get that on. Great. Is there any last things you wanted to say to get out there? I'll mention one more time, the new record is Hyperion. An EP? Are you calling it an EP?
Yeah,
new EP Hyperion is out now, and people can find it on your Bandcamp page. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to order it right now. Though, in a few months, it'll be available on LP from our label that puts out all our LPs called Gilead Media. Mm. There is a possibility that we'll be on the West Coast. I don't know if we'll make it up to Vancouver, but I don't know if we'll make it across the border, but we will probably be in the Northwest at some point this year for one of our first times I guess it'll be our second time in the Northwest.
Cool. All right. Any last comments? Anything?
I don't think so. No, I think I don't know. Just stay open-minded, y'all.
All right. Great. Thanks so much for taking the time to do the interview. And good luck with the mail outs. I hope it doesn't
All right, man.
Destroy your hands.
Easy. So far, so good. I don't really have any.
You are still listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. The show's called The Burrow, on every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. My name's Andy Resto, and we just heard an interview that I had with Mick Barr, bassist of the black metal group Kralis out of New York, one of my favorite current metal acts going on right now. They have a terrific new EP called Hyperion that was just released the first of this year, and a very good album from last year called Ikur, which we heard part of the namesake of that album, as I learned from Mick, comes from a piece by a modern Italian composer named Giacinto Scelsi, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, has a piece called Ikur, which means catharsis. So there you have it. I'm actually going to play the second movement of that piece as well, coming up after a few messages. And then we will also hear some of the Azerbaijani music that Mick requested. I dug into our archives, found Alim Kazimov, found an album with Alim and Fargana Kazimov. I'm assuming Fargana is his wife, maybe their brother or sister. But they did an album together, simply titled Spiritual Music of Azerbaijan. I'm going to listen to the opening track called Bardasht, and I do not claim to know what that means. But it's nice, and definitely a change-up for the program. So after the break, we're going to hear some modern Italian classical music and Azerbaijani music here on The Burrow, CITR 101.9 FM.
Come out to CITR's Shindig each week to hear the bands duke it out to be the winner of their night. Now come out to hear the winners compete to make it to the finals. Each semi will feature three of your past winners, with the winners of the semifinals guaranteed a place and a prize in the finals on February 5th. The third semi is happening on Tuesday, January 26th, featuring the winners from nights 2, 7, and 8. Atlanteans, Late Spring, and Red Circle. So come out to Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings at 8 for locally made beer, pool, music, and an epic night. Cover is $6 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
A taste of the classics with a twist. Join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
Thank you.
As per request of Mick Barr of Kralis, that was Alim and Fargana Kasimov with some Azerbaijani Mugam music. A song called Bardasht from an album that they did together, simply titled Spiritual Music of Azerbaijan. Very interesting, very good, but a left turn out of left field, whatever term you might want to use for this show. You are tuned into The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM, and we are coming to the end of the episode this week. Thank you all for listening. Was primarily focused on the interview that I had with Mick Barr of metal band Kralis. If you missed that, go ahead and catch the podcast, which should be up in the very near future. Next week, next Sunday, so January 31st, there is a band from Seattle that is going to be playing here in Vancouver called Vats. And Vats are our friend of this program. Probably would have been close to a year ago, not quite a year, maybe 8 months or so ago, came onto this show for a nice interview, nice chat. If I remember right, they played some Brian Eno, and Nico as well. Nice folks. And they're going to be in town this Saturday evening at to play a show at Redgate with Other Jesus and Swim Team, which should be a very good show. However, the next afternoon, so Sunday afternoon, January 31st, they're going to, before heading back down to Seattle, they're going to stop by here at CITR and play a live set for us here in our lounge. So I'm really looking forward to that. And right now I'm considering just playing that recording also on this show next week. So I'll see if I have anything come up in between then. But for now, that's actually what I'm leaning towards. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to play some Vats for you right now off of a tour tape that they made last year when they were on tour. Part of that tour being when they came here through Vancouver. So it's a song called Half Night off of their tour tape from 2015. And then we're going to close the show this week with a new CD that was put out by a band called The Purveyors of Free Will, which is this experimental psych band. Not really psych, just experimental noise band from Victoria, who I first discovered on a compilation that a record label called Baffled Octopi put out, called Victoria Oddities or something along those lines. And Purveyors of Free Will now have a full record, and it's called Frozen in an Ice Age of Regret. And the song is called An Accountant in the Desert, a Lawyer on the Moon. So you can tell these are going to get into some strange territory to finish a show. Anyhow, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Mick for taking the time to do the interview with me last week. Check out Kralis's new record, Hyperion. It's very good, as well as their discography. And right now, I'm going to play Half Night by Vats. Stay tuned. A Little Bit of Soul is on next here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you. I stole a bus today. We used to call it stealing. But the guy who had it didn't own it. It used to belong to the city. But now there is no city. There is no paper to make a claim. And there is no office where you file that paper. The bus is mine because I drive it. The last guy had no gasoline, because there is no gas to buy, or money to buy it with. The gas stations gather dust by the side of the road. I make my own fuel from alcohol and veggie oil. I make it run, so it's mine.
Thank you.